I'm gonna tell you a story now. But as any good storyteller knows, one must first be sure the audience is prepared. Is everybody comfortably seated? Does anyone need to use the bathroom? Oh, you, sir, in the back? Well, hold it in.
Now, where to begin? How about once upon a time?
How many times have you heard that to begin a story? Let's do something else.
I got it.
Oh, no, no, not the book.
How many have seen opening the book before?
Close the book.
We're not doing that.
Okay, let's get this over with. Three little kittens loved to play. They had fun in the sun all day. Then their mother came out and said, "Time for kittens to go to bed." Wow, this is garbage. You actually like this?
Keep reading.
All right.
Grandpa?
The end.
All right, let's focus on the Word of God for the next few moments. And as you guys just saw, we are in a series called Stories. And Stories is really, really, really great. And it's awesome because what we're doing is we're diving into parables, which Jesus spoke whenever he was here on earth. And parables are stories. And stories don't necessarily, these parables aren't necessarily like true stories, but they are stories that convey a true point. And so they would have been culturally relevant. They would have, the audience would have completely understood what he's talking about. And he would leverage those in a creative way to really drive home a point. And I love this series. It's been awesome. This is week 5. If you haven't had the opportunity to track with us over the last 4 weeks, jump online, check it out. It's incredible. And you'll be up to speed with where we are. And so today we're looking to both ask and answer the question, does God's gift in me matter to the world around me? If you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got great news. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. And so when you guys walked in, there's some message notes. I hope you guys grabbed those. If you didn't, and you can sneak back in the back real quick and grab some of those before we get started. And I also want to say hello to everyone online. You guys are incredible. You guys are amazing. We love you. And we want you to know that you are just as much a part of the Focus family as the people sitting in these seats. And so hopefully sometime soon, when you have the opportunity, we would love to actually get to meet you face to face. And so we're going to go ahead and dive into God's word, Matthew 25, 14 through 19. So if you want to grab out your phone, you can go to the Bible app there. If you have a paperback Bible or a regular Bible, that's cool too. And if you don't have either of those, no worries. The scripture is going to be on the screen, and we will check that out. So what's happening in the middle of this passage right now is Jesus is just having this personal conversation with his disciples, and it ends up being about the end of the world. And so the disciples are asking him different questions, and they're talking about it, and they're like, everyone wants to know, like, when's the end of the world? When's that going to happen, right? And so Jesus starts talking about different seasons, and he starts talking about different buildings, and he starts using analogies and parables, and he starts talking to them about the different seasons that we need to be aware of, and the different moments that we need to be aware of, because he went on to say that no one knows the time, but you can be aware of the seasons, and that was really important. And so what he was really talking about is really like leveraging in the time that we have, and don't waste the life that we have, and really zero in and just live your life with intention. And as that's all happening, he transitions and starts talking about these parables. And so this is where we're going to kind of pick up. And so this is verses 14. Here we go. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the man, by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Let's go ahead and pray real quick. God, thank you so much for your word. Your word is powerful. Your word is incredible. And I ask right now in your mighty name that you would just remove every hindrance, You would remove every distraction. You would remove all of the things that we got spiraling around in our head right now, of all the things that we have to do later on, and we would just be present in this moment. I pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive everything that you're wanting to say in the middle of this moment. We love you, we need you, and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So hey, this week my son turned 15 years old. It's incredible. We did this thing that we've never done before. We went to an escape room. And what that means is we paid someone to lock us in a room. And as they walked out of the room, they said, "Good luck." And I'm like, "What? What?" And so, but no, I've always wanted to do it. I don't know why. It's weird, but I've always wanted to do it. And so I've seen pictures and I've heard people talk about escape rooms. I'm like, I'm in. You get locked in and you got to find all these clues. They're like, yeah. So we walk into the building, and there's like a mini escape room before you even get to the escape room. I'm like, this is two for one. What? And so we walk in and we walk into this room, and it's a complete candy store. And it's like, I felt like it was like the 50s, and everything around was a candy store. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm literally a kid in the candy store right now. I'm looking at all the different candies, like, yeah, I love that one. Peach rings, come on. And it was awesome. And I'm like, I wonder if you can actually take the lids off. So I walked over there, tried to get the lid off, and it was like just a big setup. I'm like, no, you can't take the lids off. How dare you try to eat our candy? And so I'm like, oh, this is the worst. But it was incredible. It was amazing. Like, everything was intentionally set in place. And so then we were able to finally get out of that room. And I'm not going to lie, they gave us a hint. We didn't know. And so we got out of that room. And you had to get out of that room before you could even, like, get in there and register. Like, this is, like, the pre-setup. And so we get in there, and we register, and we're going through the videos, and we're hearing about the storyline. And all these things and all the details that were set in place were just meticulous, and they were thought through, because the creators of the game put the different effort into it to make it feel and make it seem like you were actually there. And they were very, very intentional about everything. And I started thinking through that, man, that's like our life. Like, Jesus, like, has meticulously created everything and has meticulously thought through everything about our life. And he's placed everything exactly where it needs to be and in us to do what we need to do for him. And it's everything that Jesus does, he does with significance and intention, because Jesus is intentional about his giving. Jesus is intentional about his giving. And as we were in that room, everything was done about intentional. It was done with intention. As I look at the scripture here, in verse 15, he gives 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So we need to define who these people are real quick. So we have the master, and the master actually in this story is Jesus. And then we have the 3 characters who receive the 5, 2, and the 1. Now those characters, we said that this earlier, that this is parables. And so these parables would be culturally relevant. So the culture in the middle of that moment would know that these people that are given the money, these are actually stewards. Now stewards, what their job is there to manage money in the master's best interest. And so they were given money, and so their job was to manage that and steward that in the master's best interest. And I think it's really important for us to know that oftentimes it's not always money that's given. Sometimes there's passion, sometimes there's dreams, sometimes there's desires that Jesus gives, and our response to those is to manage them well and to steward them well and to leverage them for his glory, for his best interest. It's also really important to note here that in the original language, the word that is used for this, it's not bags of silver, it's talent. And there's a word that's talent. And this is very significant, because when you look at the word talent, it's actually a measurement. And so talent was actually 20 years of a person's salary. 20 years of a workman's salary. Like, so these gifts that were given were extremely significant. Let's just throw this out there. Today's society, let's say $50,000 is a salary. Pretty decent, right? And so if a person's salary was $50,000, that's $1 million. The person who was given 1 bag of silver or 1 talent, it was $1 million. The person who was given 2 was $2 million. The person who was given 5 was $5 million. These were significant, significant gifts that they were blessed with in order to manage well in the best interest of the master. And I want to pause on that, because I believe with all my heart that every single one of us in here were given something by Jesus in order to use and leverage, in order to be a great steward of that. And sometimes that's money, sometimes that's gifting, sometimes that's passions, sometimes that's dreams. But every single one of us in here were given one of those, we're given different talents. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it maybe seemed like a little, but it's not. And so, because here's the deal, is that Jesus absolutely off the charts believes in you. He believes in you. And I want you to look up here real quick. Look at me eye to eye, face to face. All the people online watching right now, I want you to look in here and just say, just look at my eyes and just listen in this, that Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in you. And I wish I could say that a million times, because I think sometimes after you repeat something over and over, it like sticks a little better, right? But he believes in you. And you have an incredible amount of value. I love saying it this way, is that you are called on purpose, you're called for purpose, and you're called with purpose. I don't care if you've been born for 4 minutes or you've been born for 400 years. Like, you have breath in your lungs. You have a purpose for your life. You have a gifting. You have something that we're called to steward well. And it's because that the giftings God has placed in you are directly connected to the calling that he has for you. And this is really important, that the giftings that you have, that he has placed in you, are directly in connection to the calling that he has for you. And when I use the term calling, what I'm meaning is the calling is the special thing that God wants you to do with the gifting that he's placed inside of you. And so maybe you're really good at numbers. Maybe like you can add all these different things in your head, none of you have to write it down. Like, calculators are pointless to you. Maybe your calling at that point is maybe you're supposed to be in finance of some sort. I don't know. But our gifting is directly in correlation to the calling that he has on our lives. But here's the deal. I want us to really zero in on this, is that we're gifted differently because we're called differently, not because we're loved differently. We're gifted differently because we're called differently, not because we're loved differently. And I think sometimes we look at other people and say, man, they've got it all, but I've got nothing almost. And we think sometimes that the love that God has for them is higher than the love that he has for me, because I got nothing. I got this one little thing, but it's not true. Like, God's love for you doesn't change, it doesn't shift. It's not like the stock market where it rises and falls based off of your performance. It's not any of that. God's love for you is complete. Like, there's nothing you can do to increase it or decrease it, because God is love. He doesn't just like do love, he is love. It oozes from the reality of who he is, that like that he is love, and God loves you. And I want you to know that, that you are valued, you're loved, you're called on purpose, for purpose, and with purpose. God didn't make a mistake on you. Everything that you have has been given to you to do what you're called to do. And it's incredible. But there are so many voices around us that oftentimes that scream so loud in direct opposition to that. And the voices oftentimes sound like this: if you were loved and if you were valued, then you would look like this. And you got to fill that in for yourself, because that's different for all of us, right? But it screams out all the time, if you were loved and you were valued, then you would be like this. If you were loved and you were valued, then you would have this. If you were loved and you were valued, then you would be like this. And every single one of those voices that are constantly screaming all around us are all screaming in an attempt to devalue the gift that God has placed inside of you. The talent that God has placed inside of you. And it's very, very important to begin listening to the voices that are speaking into our lives, because the voices we listen to will always impact the choices that we make, because voices impact choices. You guys can write that down. Voices impact choices. I went to Target. I think it was a Sunday afternoon one time, and I was completely empty. I was done. I had nothing left in the tank for the week, and I remember going there, and I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here. My son and my wife wanted to go get something there, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, you guys go in. I'm going to hang back, because if I have to, like, talk to someone or see someone, like, it's like I just don't have anything left, and I don't have anything like to be bubbly and effervescent and just, oh, it's so good to see you. Like, I don't want to see anybody right now. And so I was really tired. And so maybe you guys have moments like that. I was definitely peopled out. And I remember sitting, just standing in the back, just waiting for them, checking my watch, where are they at? They should be here by now. And this lady and this mom stepped in to check out. And the lady grabbed in her purse, and she pulled out her debit card, and she slid it into the machine to pay. And almost simultaneously, as she slid it in the machine to pay, her daughter fell to the floor, and she began to have a seizure, and she began to collapse. And instantly, something spoke up on the inside of me: go pray for her. Go pray for her. go pray for her. But there was another voice that spoke up on the inside of me that said, don't do it. You're empty. You've got nothing left in the tank. You can't go pray for her. Like, what if she doesn't get healed? What if it gets worse? You're just going to be in the way. You're not a professional. Leave it to the professional. And also, there's no worship team here right now. Who's going to play the music for you to pray for her? How is that going to happen without that? And so I sat there and had this like constant dialogue going on in my head. It wasn't like a cartoon where there's like the little demon right there and the little angel. It wasn't like that at all. It was this internal mind game that was happening. And I got to be honest, I missed it. I missed the moment. And I missed it because I was empty and there was some fear there. It's like, man, I don't know what to do. But I do know that in the middle of that moment, when God calls us to do something, we're empowered to do it. And I know that as I would have went and prayed, that God would have done something incredible because it was his voice that was leading me to do it. But I completely missed it. And I don't know if she's okay, and I'll never know. I don't know if she's still alive, and I'll never know. I'll never know what would have happened in that moment because I didn't respond in that moment because I didn't steward the moment well that God had given me. Oftentimes, you know, there's these moments where God divinely directs you to be at certain spots and certain moments for you to be there to do something. And I listened to the wrong voice in the middle of that moment and I missed it completely. So I got to ask the question, man, what voices are you listening to? If the voices impact our choices, what voices are we listening to? And sometimes it can get confusing as to, is this God's voice or is this the enemy's voice? Well, here's what God's voice is going to sound like. The voice of God is going to draw you. It's going to be warm. It's going to lead you to accomplish your purpose. We can't forget that God is a father. And he's not like angry at you. He loves you, and he's going to lead you with warmth. And he's going to lead you to fulfill and steward well the accomplishment and steward well and accomplish the purpose that he has for you in that moment. And the enemy's voice is completely different. The enemy's voice is very aggressive. It aggressively drags and pushes you with condemnation that leads you further from your purpose. And when we respond oftentimes to the voices of the enemy, what comes on the backside of it? See, I told you. I told you you weren't that great of a Christian. I told you you've been going to Focus Church for so long and you're supposed to be out doing something, but you did nothing. You stood there and you watched. See, I told you. Like, this is the response of like what the enemy will look like. It's aggressive. It pushes, it pulls, and it condemns on the outside of it. It doesn't draw you closer. It pulls you further away. And I think most of the time in my life, I don't know about you, but most of the time in my life, the enemy speaks in your mind. He often comes in and he brings these ideas and these thoughts, and it's always in my mind where those thoughts originate. And there's a scripture in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that says that we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. If the voices impact choices, we need to be very intentional about what choices we're allowing into our lives, and we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And what that means is if that thought doesn't line up with God's word, then it's not going to be a part of my life. And that's really important. If the thought isn't a part of God's word, it's not going to be part of my life. But if we can't know if that thought is a part of God's word, if we aren't spending time in the word to know how to line that up. And so it's very, very, very important. There's another scripture in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And guard is a verb. And it means to protect, and it means to watch over. There's oftentimes an analogy that's used, like as a person is a standing guard in front of a jail cell, and that person will not let you in. That person will not let you talk to them. That person will not let you see them unless you have been permitted to be a part of that or been cleared to speak with that person. And it's very similar connotation here, very similar imagery here, that when we're guarding our heart, what we're saying is, I'm standing in front of it. I'm protecting it. I'm being intentional about what's coming in to this situation. And if it doesn't align with God's word, you're not permitted. You're not coming in. And I think it's very important for us to really guard our hearts, because I think sometimes, man, we just let everything in, right? We're just letting it all in. But it's that's scary, because it's inside your mind that a thought is conceived, but it's inside your heart that a thought is believed. But it's in your mind first. But if you allow it to stay in your mind, it moves from your mind to your heart and then begins to be played out in your life. How many people have ever had this this moment where it's like this internal dialogue in your head, like, I'm gonna show them, or you get mad and you start having these conversations in your head that are never gonna actually happen outside, but it's this internal thing where we're processing it over and over and over and over again. It's inside your mind that a thought's conceived, but it's inside your heart that it's believed. But the seed is sown in your mind, but it produces fruit in your heart. And when that seed produces fruit in your heart, its misaligned thoughts move from your mind to your heart. It creates a misaligned perspective. A misaligned perspective will always bring about a misaligned reality, because misaligned perspective equals misaligned reality. What you and I believe to be true about something is how we will live out something. They say that, like, perception is reality. And I want to go back to the story really quick. And so the master had given them, so Jesus had given these stewards three gifts, three talents, right? And so 5, 2, and 1. And we didn't really finish that story. So let's complete that really quick. Let me give you this real quick. So the master comes back after a long time, and he begins to have this moment of accountability of, what did you do with the talent that I gave you? And the five person comes up. He's like, guys, you gave me 5 talents, and I went out and immediately invested it, and it was incredible, and it was amazing, and I doubled it, and now from the 5 to the 10, now I have 10 talents. God, here it is. This is awesome. And God's like, man, awesome job. Incredible. You're amazing. High five, fist bump, give me a hug. I'm so proud of you. I added that part. And so then the two person, so after that, he says, hey, man, good. You've been so faithful in this little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. And so he's like, all right, cool. Next person comes up, the 2 talent, and he's same kind of situation. I had 2 talents. You gave me another 2, or I had 2 talents. I invested it. I gained another 2. It was so amazing to see how that happened. It was incredible. It was awesome. And then in the middle of that, like, Jesus is like, yes, this is incredible. High five, fist bump, give me a hug. You're incredible. And because you are faithful in the little things, because you stewarded it well, I'm going to give you the opportunity to steward more. And the third person comes up, and we're going to read this real quick. This is in verse 24, Matthew 25, 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered the money to be taken from the servant and given to the one who had the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given to them, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even the little they have will be taken. We titled this talk, Use It or Lose It. And it's all about stewarding the gifting, stewarding the dream, stewarding the power, or stewarding the callings, and stewarding the things that God has placed in our lives. Well, that's time, that's treasure, that's talent, that's ability. It's all about stewarding those things. And his heart for us is to use those things. Because the giftings and the talents that God has given you, it's not for you. It's for the world around you. God blesses you with things in order for us to use them to bless the world around them. Because there's some things that are going to be accomplished with those that are going to help reach other people. And the gifting that you have is completely different than the gifting that I have. And I can't do what you can do, and you can't do what I can do. And that's okay, and that's great, and that's celebrated. Because if we all look exactly alike, that would just be weird. But the gifting that you have has purpose, and God has called us to use it. And so we want to make this declaration that, God, I want to steward these talents well. I want to steward what you've given me well. And so we want to make this declaration that I will use the gift God has given me. I will use the gift God has given me. And I think the saddest thing oftentimes is we have all these great gifts and these talents and stuff, but I think sometimes we don't use them. And it's really sad. And I heard this story, and it's always stuck with me. It's always hit me at the core of who I am. And it kind of goes along with the main point that I will use the gifts God has given me. It says, this guy was asked, what's the wealthiest place in the world? He said, the wealthiest place in the world is not the gold mines of South America or the oil fields of Iraq or Iran. They are not the diamond mines of South Africa or the banks of the world. The wealthiest place on the planet is the graveyard, because it's here that you'll find all the hopes and dreams that were never fulfilled, the books that were never written, the songs that were never sung, the inventions that were never shared, the cures that were never discovered, all because someone was too afraid. These people that were in the graveyard, they didn't steward it well. And bringing it back to the scripture that we've been reading this whole time, the guy with the one talent didn't steward it well, but it was meant to be stewarded. How many things are we missing in this world? Like just kind of processing, like maybe cancer would have already been cured if someone would have stewarded it. Maybe the common cold would have already been cured if someone would have stewarded the gift that was in them. Maybe we would have these inventions that have like changed, that would have changed life, and it would have been just taking it to a whole nother level had someone stewarded the gift that's inside of them. But I was afraid. I was afraid. And there's lots of different fears. There's fears of failures. There's fears of other things. I think I looked it up and there's like 550 different fears. But I just want to ask, man, in the middle of this moment, like, where are we? Where are we with this? Are you the person that said, hey, man, I took the talent and I've invested it, and it's been so good and God's been incredible in the middle of it and we've doubled it and it's been awesome? Or are you on the other side of it and you say, man, because of a fear, I got to be honest, I dug a hole in the ground and I've just hidden it because I've been afraid to fail. I've been afraid to fail. So there's that aspect of it. And then I'm persuaded that the person with the one gift, $1 million, I'm persuaded that as he was giving an account for his life, if he had tried, if he had given everything that he had, I'm absolutely persuaded that if he came to Jesus and he begins to give an account and say, man, I tried, I did this one thing and it didn't work so well, and so I moved to another thing. You know, I saw that you harvested in different areas, and so I tried harvesting because it worked for you, so maybe it'll work for me. And then I saw you do these other things, and so I tried that. Maybe I tried real estate, or maybe I tried starting a business or whatever that looks like. But somehow through the process of all that, I'm so sorry, but everything went bankrupt. I'm so sorry. And I can see the imagery so well that as he's pouring out his heart to Jesus and the things that he's done, and tears are streaming down his face, that I see Jesus there smiling. And I see Jesus bring him in and give him a big hug. And I hear him whisper in his ears, but what did you learn? But what did you learn? Everyone, I want you to look face to face, eye to eye, online audience. I want you to hear this right now, is that failure is not a person. Failure is an event. You aren't a failure because you failed. And failure is really only failure if you fail to learn from it. And so if we really want to get down to it, failure is a step forward. It's a step forward. But I think sometimes the world around us, we've bought in, we've misaligned our lives to this lie that failure is a person, and I failed, so therefore I am a failure. And we sometimes step out and we try and we completely miss it. And we look down and there's these shattered pieces of this dream or this goal or this thing that we tried to accomplish or do, and it's just there, and we're just like broken and hurt. And sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of that moment digging the hole and just say, man, it wasn't for me. This hurts too bad. So the pain that we experience in that moment far outweighs the calling of what God has in our lives. And so we hide it. I wanna go ahead and pray today as we're closing out. I want to pray for two people. I want to pray for the person who's said, man, I'm struggling with this, the fear of failure. I'm struggling with it. I've got some dreams inside of me. I know there's some things inside of me. I know that God has got like this passion inside of me, and it's literally bubbling up on the side of me, but I'm so scared that if I use it, I'm going to mess up. I want to pray for that group of people. And I also want to pray for the group of people that say, man, I tried. I really did. I feel like I gave it everything, but it just didn't work. It just wasn't for me. And in the middle of your pain, in the middle of the confusion, in the middle of the hurt, you dug a hole and you've hit it. I don't want to pray for that group of people as well. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. God, thank you so much for your word. It's so inspiring. God, you've blessed every single one of us with talents and giftings and abilities because you love us and you value us. And I just thank you so much for every single person that's here. And I ask for those people who are struggling with dealing with the fear of failure. I pray, God, that you would just infuse inside of them courage. And I know that courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is the fortitude to move forward in the face of fear. And I pray, God, that you would give them that courage to move forward. you would give them the courage to respond to you. God, that you would silence the voices of the enemy around them that are confusing them, that you would give them spiritual noise canceling headphones where you put it over their ears and they aren't hearing the voice of the enemy, but they're being so in tune with your voice. And I pray, Father, that you would rise up on the inside of them and empower them like never before to accomplish the dream that you've placed inside of them. And that you'd help them to steward well the giftings and the talents that you've placed in them to accomplish what you've called them to do. And God, for the other group that's struggling with the pain of a moment that didn't go the way that they anticipated, I pray, God, that you would just take all the broken pieces of that moment and you would put them all back together and you would create an incredible mosaic through their life. And that you would begin to whisper in their ears, let's do it one more time. There's more in you. Let's do it one more time. You got this. I'm with you. I've never left you nor forsaken you. Don't ever think that I'm not with you. I'm there with you. And God, we would dig that hole back up. And we would take those talents and giftings and abilities that you've placed inside of our heart and we would leverage those for your glory. God, you just move mightily in and through our lives in an incredible way to bring you glory. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I said at the beginning of this message that if you're looking for hope or purpose to your life, that we're gonna give you an opportunity to receive hope. We've been talking about using the gifts that God has given us, and that starts with making a decision to follow him and make him the leader of your life. There's nothing we can do to earn God's forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to earn being a part of God's family, but God did something for us already. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the price for what we've done so that we could be forgiven, so we could be set free, so we could be part of God's family. The work's already been done, but we have to do our part. We have to respond to it. We have to recognize that Jesus did that for me. Not only do I recognize that, but God, I wanna follow you. I don't just wanna recognize what you've done. I wanna follow you as well. I wanna make you in charge of my life. And the way we do that, it's kind of a two-part deal. The first is prayer, and prayer is having this conversation with God to make the decision, which is where everything changes. But the second part is water baptism. That's when we get to share with our Focus family that we made that decision. We go public with the decision we made in private. But the first is prayer, and I wanna do that with you now. So what's gonna happen is I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna pray it in a few words at a time, and you're gonna repeat out loud with me. But we're all gonna pray it as an entire Focus Church family because here, we don't pray alone. We pray together because we're better together. We're all about helping people find God's place in their life. So let's go ahead and pray real quick. God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.